Good morning, brothers and sisters. I must say it's a joy to be here with you today. Sometimes we don't realize how beautiful the fellowship is until you might think that you're getting ready to lose it. And your fellowship with us has been one of pure joy. Let us ask the Lord's blessing on our contemplations this morning. Our Father, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts and a song on our lips as we sing of the great love that you have blessed us with. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, who willingly came and took on the world, as it were, those that would seek to destroy. And he paid the price. Songwriter says, "We owed a price that we could not pay. And you paid the price that you did not owe." Oh, we give you thanks today for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We bring before you each and every one that is under the sound of our voices today and ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to our needs. For truly, all good things cometh from the Lord. So bless us as we spend the next few minutes contemplating your word and who you are to us, and also to present to others who you can be to them. We praise you, we thank you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Every now and then I like to use a subject that I think comes up maybe in our minds, if not verbally, and I kind of just throw it out there and see if we can deal with it. And today's question is this: are all people born good? I used to think that I was good until the first time I could remember back talking my mom or my grandma, and I got a backhand. I realized, okay, now. The answer to that question is that there is a common belief today that people are born good. And most people remain basically good at heart. Their whole lives, according to this theory. I bet you didn't know that. The evil that some people exhibit is the result of environmental factors, or so they say. People only turn bad when external forces beyond their control twist them away from their basic goodness. This is the concept or the precept. But this is a false unbiblical view of human nature. I remember a story long time ago in my Christian life where a brother got up and a sister was in the gathering, and had a little baby, still breastfeeding. You know, the ladies have a special way of breastfeeding the baby. And she was just hooing and awing over the baby. Oh, isn't he beautiful? Oh, isn't he a nice baby? Oh, isn't he pretty? And so on. And the baby was feeding. And all of a sudden, the baby nipped her. And she said, "You little devil, you." Isn't that something? Even a baby had to get the message across that we are living in a false world when we think of the unbiblical view of human nature. The Bible teaches that none of us are good. We are all born sinners with a sinful, selfish nature inherited from Adam. So unless we are born again by the Spirit of God, we will never see the kingdom of God. That is the warning to us. John chapter 3 and verse 3. In Psalm chapter 14, verses 2 to 3, we get the counter idea that anyone is good. It says this: "The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any," emphasis on any, "who understand." Any who seek God. You see, because all have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Add to this Jesus' statement that no one is good except God alone. Luke chapter 18 and verse 19. We see that we all stand guilty before God. In other words, none of us can claim that we are so good that we are good apart from God. Yes, beloved, we see that we all stand guilty before God. In the beginning, God created an absolutely perfect world. So just in case you want to blame God, it's not his fault. God called his creation very good. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, the Garden of Eden was a perfect environment for the first humans. Adam and Eve, even in that perfect environment though, with all their needs met and living in a state of innocence, Adam chose to disobey God. Little caveat right there. Who chose to disobey God? It was Adam, the man, right? Chose to disobey God. Adam couldn't blame the environmental factors for his sinful choice. Or like Chip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." No. It was simply an act of his own will to rebel. And today, at this point in time, it is still an act of our wills to rebel against God. When Adam disobeyed God, the first couple lost their innocence. And as a result of that, they were ejected from the garden. And more importantly, their basic nature was corrupted. You can find that reference in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Sin and death became a part of creation. So who is to blame? Who is to blame for sin? Who is to blame for death? It is us. It is we, the people. It is us. But later on, Adam had a son. And the Bible describes the event this way. He had a son in his own likeness, after his own image. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. Like father, like son. The sinner begot a sinner. Have you ever heard the statement, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? The sinner begot a sinner. Now Adam's sin has spread to some creation. Oops, wrong. All creation. It has spread to all creation. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And death through sin. How did death come in? Because of sin. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. And no, I didn't stutter. All have sinned. Romans 5 and verse 12. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are infected by sin. People are not born good because every one of us has been affected by Adam's sin. There are no exceptions. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Here's what it says. It says that one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. That is not good. That is not good. But maybe Flip Wilson had something to say about that when he said, what, the devil made me do it? One trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. We are sinners, beloved, for two reasons. We actively sin ourselves. In other words, we're sinners by practice or in practice. We do it. We do it. We do it. I wonder if that is why the phrase was created. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Because we humans, this is what we do more than anything else. Apologize. We apologize to our kids. We apologize to our wives. We apologize to our husbands. We apologize to our bosses. We apologize to everybody we can think about. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And it goes on and on and on. We are sinners for two reasons, beloved. One is we actively sin ourselves. We are sinners in practice. And we bear a sinful character passed down from Adam. So whose fault it is? Adam's. Right? We're sinners by nature. And that, you see, is why we all face physical death. In Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. It is in Adam that we all die. Why? Because Adam was the first man. And we are descendants of the first man, Adam. And we inherited Adam's sin. Hence, we die. What was his sin? He disobeyed God. He said, don't touch it, don't eat it. And then along came someone who said, did God really say that? No. He actually means that if you do that, you're going to live forever. Except you're going to be living on the wrong side of the tracks. It's hard to imagine a sweet, innocent baby being a sinner, don't you think? Joyce and I had a beautiful premature baby girl whom we loved dearly. I mean, she was just a peach. And we tried to train her up in the way she should go. One Sunday morning, we could look down the street and we could see the chapel. We had her get ready to go to Sunday school. She was 10 years old. She did not want to go to Sunday school that day. And she made every excuse and gave every reason. Eventually she realized she had to go. And so she went. And she came back home skipping along the road, happily. And when she got home, she gave us the news. And the news was, Mom, Dad, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It wasn't too long after that that we got some really bad news that our daughter had an accident at school. I won't go into the details. However, what should have, in our minds, have fixed her problem really quickly, didn't. And our daughter was called home to glory. That, beloved, is the kind of pain I would wish and no parent. But I give thanks to the Lord that he saw us through it. Gave us the grace. And let us know sufficient unto us are the grace that he gives. So it is hard to imagine a sweet, innocent baby being a sinner. But the Bible tells us that even children possess a sinful nature. So even children needs to accept the Lord. This is why we get so excited when a young person accepts the Lord. Because we realize that they have been spared so many of the dangers that this world offers them. One of the good things, or bad, depending on how you look at it, about people who are my age now, is to look back and you can see examples of different young people who has either crossed our paths or come into our lives and have passed out of our lives for whatever the reason. But it always breaks our heart when we can't get a definitive answer as to did they accept Jesus as their Savior. That, beloved, is the difference. That is the difference. That is the deal maker when you accept Jesus as your Savior. Logically, to our nature, to our sin nature, is inherited from Adam. The babies must already possess the bent to sin. I told you the story about the little baby that bit mom. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. So says Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, written by the wisest man that lived. Bolstering the truth of this proverb, a child's sinful behavior begins to manifest itself quite early in his development. As soon as a child is able to start choosing between obedience and disobedience, he will begin testing the waters of disobedience. Children are naturally selfish, and their wayward nature is evident to anyone who has ever been around children. We're not permitted to discipline our neighbor's kids anymore. You know. But what about our own kids? A lot of us are afraid to discipline them because they learn things at school and other places, but like saying, oh, if mom or dad hits you, call the police. In my day, it was the opposite. They'll call the police for you. They'll discipline me. But that's the way life is now. Children are naturally selfish, and their wayward nature is evident to anyone who has ever been around them. The definitive passage on the fact that people are not born good, remember that's what we're talking about, people being born good, is Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5. Listen to what David has to say on his own sin nature, beginning at conception. Says this, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there is nothing inherently good within any of us? There is nothing in us that could earn salvation? And on our own, we have no ability to become worthy of God's favor. We deserve only God's wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. We are what? We are dead in our trespasses. Ephesians 2:1. But thanks be to God who chose to send his Son, Jesus, into the world. Jesus lived without sin, and his death on the cross paid the penalty we deserved. We should have been on that cross, but he paid the price. He paid the debt. Songwriter says, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt he didn't owe. But Charles Wesley, in his hymn, puts it this way. And can it be? Rightly praises the Lord for his amazing love. This is what he says. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? God's great love for us is the only reason he offers us such an amazing gift. It is the gift of forgiveness of sin. John 3:16-18. This is what it says. For God, I repeat that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So, beloved, to answer a question, are all people born good? The answer is a definite no. And the only one that can change our situation, the only one that can set us free, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us on the cross of Calvary, the one who, having been buried on the third day, rose again. And today, he lives in an endless life, waiting for that day when the Father will say to him, go collect. Go gather up your saints. Go gather up those that you paid the price for. And we can rejoice then as we read in Revelation about the beautiful reunion of the saints. May the Lord bless us and keep us. And the challenge is, one, the answer to the question, none of us are born good. And the challenge is, will you accept Jesus as your Savior? Then you see, you don't have to claim your own goodness. You claim the Lord's goodness for his own name's sake. Let us pray. Father, Once again, thank you for the strength. Thank you for the clarity of thought. Thank you for the Spirit and His guidance. And we pray, Lord, that whoever might have come under the sound of the voice of your servant today will take a second look, or a third look, or however many looks they need to take to answer the question that men are not born good. We are not born good. But we know who is good, because we know the goodness of our God, and we know the goodness of our Lord Jesus, and we know that He died for us. So if there's one today who is searching, may today be the day that they will come before you and says, I acknowledge you, Lord, and recognize that in me dwells no good thing, but you can set me free. For if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Bless us as we separate from each other, for those who are listening to us elsewhere. May today be a day of great rejoicing as we seek one more time to tell forth the good news of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.